Ashiya, Karila, Kichu, Aishwarya, Prakash, Mahatejo Maya, Vapu, Koti, Suryabhash, Vaishya Kariya Kichu Aishwarya Prakash Mahatejo Maya Vapu Koti Surya Bhash
Mahatejo Maya Vapu Koti Surya
Bhash Vaishya Kariya Kichu Aishwarya Prakash Mahatejo Maya Vapu Koti Surya Bhash
Mahatejo Maya Vapu Koti Surya Bhash
Vashaya Kari Kichu Aishwarya Prakash Mahatejo Maya Vapu Koti Surya Bhash
Mahatejo Maya Vapu
Korea Kichu Kash Mahatejo Koti Vapu Koti Surya Hash Vashiya, after sitting, Korila, exhibited, Kichu, some, Aishwarya, mystic power, Prakash, manifested, Mahatejo Maya, very brilliantly, Vapu, body, Koti, millions. Surya, sun. Abhasha, reflection. Translation. After sitting on the ground, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mystic power by manifesting an effulgent as brilliant as the illumination of millions of suns. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is full of all potencies. Therefore, it is not remarkable for him to manifest the illumination of millions of suns. Lord Sri Krishna is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself. Therefore, he can exhibit any mystic power. So for the Lord to manifest these powers, it's not something so special, not wonderful, because as the Supreme Lord, that's natural. That's not the specialty. The specialty is this pastime where he's taking the humble position. He's offering his respects to the Mayavadi sannyasis. He is sitting in a humble position in the area where they wash the feet. This is special. Because for the Lord, relationships is the special thing. The interaction between devotees, rasa, that's important to him. The tattva, that he's the Supreme Lord, manifesting those potencies, having that mood that he is the Supreme. These kind of things to him are not special because he is that. Whatever he wants happens, whatever he does is perfect. So for him, that's not special at all. It doesn't even have the least main interest for him. So for him, the interest is the interaction with the devotees. That's important to him. So the most intimate then interaction, where they don't even really see, they don't see him as the Supreme Lord, then we see manifested in Vrindavan and in Navadvip. And then in Dwarka it's mixed, but Vaikuntha, then he's the Supreme Lord. But for him, being the Supreme Lord, that's not the taste. The taste is his devotees want to see God as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, then they approach him in that way. So he manifests in that way. Rasa means how you interact. Someone, you surrender to someone or you interact with someone in one way, how they'll respond. That is the natural platform of rasa. So this science must be known. If you take the humble position, you'll draw from others also respect and humility and gentleness. You're arrogant, you'll bring from them arrogance or the feeling of exploitation or suppression, like this. When the natural, whatever is reciprocal, like that. I was saying another word, but that works. The reciprocal position, that's naturally what you'll draw. So this science of rasa then is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, because this is what's important to Krishna. All of the technical details of devotional service are to get us out of material rasa. That we're so absorbed in material rasa, we think this is where the taste is. But actually it's not, because material rasa is not based on service. It's based on enjoyment. We want to control, we want to enjoy. So therefore, then that option is given in this material world. We can try to do that. Though, in its grosser form, you know, like in your contemporary forms, it's very obvious that this is what's going on. But in the Vedic form, then it was adjusted with the aspect that the soul being servant of God, therefore that's the natural inherent nature of the soul. So that can't be changed. Therefore, the soul will be in the best position and get the best interaction, even on the mundane platform, if they take the mood of servant. Therefore, the whole Varnashram system functions if you take the mood of servant. If you don't take the mood of servant, there's not a snowball's chance in hell you can make Varnashram work. So this is a very essential point, because service is the nature of soul. Varnashram is an expansion for the soul to try to find happiness and satisfaction in the material world. Not a great possibility, but at least it's a common endeavor of the living entities here. It's a common illusion that we're going to get something here. But you have to do it without disregarding the spiritual nature of the soul. Though you may be ignorant of it, but still the soul will function properly in that attitude. Therefore, if the mood of service is taken, then the whole social system works. So therefore, here, Lord Chaitanya, sannyasi, he takes the mood of servant. We will see the other sannyasis, they also take that mood and then respect him, and you come and sit here, so they're serving him. Right? The leaders of the society, the king, he serves the people by making proper arrangements so that they can function properly. They serve by following. The parents serve by training the child, giving them all their best that they have. The child serves the parents by following those instructions and rendering, you know, practical service. The same with the teacher, the student, you know, any relationship, friend and friend, you serve your friend's needs, they serve your needs. Then socially it works like that. So it's put into modern terms of, you know, being moral, being nice, being good, being so many, you know, wonderful terms. But that's not actually what's going on. The reality is it works because of service. Because the soul is servant. Therefore, when you're gentle, when you speak nicely, when you offer selfless endeavors for others, that's why it works. Not because it's some great mundane moral, platform, but because it's service, it's the nature of the soul. So the material world doesn't function on its own, it's dead matter. I mean dead. And pradhan then becomes enlivened or active when the souls and the element of time and the false ego is put into it. Then only it becomes mahatattva, it becomes activated. Otherwise it's just dead matter, it doesn't do anything, it sits here like this floor. Well, sit here, you can come back in a million years and still be sitting here. They won't do anything. So dead matter doesn't do anything. When you add the soul, then it's active. Therefore, then the actual thing going on is interaction between one soul and another soul. That's what's actually going on here. It's not matter and matter. It's soul and soul. But because of the false ego, the soul thinks they're the body, they're the mind. They're all these dead elements, right? I'm this intelligence. All dead matter. So therefore, the living entity wants to project his own needs into the material energy. That's fine. But he can't disregard himself as a spirit soul whose actual nature is servant of Krishna. So service is the inherent nature that you cannot change in the living entity. Therefore, you'll see in any relationship, if it's going nicely, it's because service is going on. There's that sensitivity to the other person and that service to the other person. Otherwise, no relationship works. There's not a relationship that functions in a dual way, reciprocal, if service is not there. You can check, you can analyze, you won't find. So the thing is that service is the real thing that makes the living entity prosperous or progressive. Is to that degree that service mood is there, then to that degree they're considered elevated or improved, right? The mind is improved by this service. So if they have this service attitude, social service attitude, but they don't know Krishna or don't know how to connect it to Krishna, they're called pious. They're nice people like that, good people. But if they know how to connect that service to Krishna, then they're called devotees. So the Varnashram system then is the perfect system how to engage all of one's needs. I mean everything, whatever you have in the way of your senses, your mind, your intelligence, your ego, it can all be fulfilled within this system. Because it is based on the principle that the soul is servant. Therefore, that nature is the first thing. That comes into the platform of the mind, the intelligence, the ego. That expands into the body and senses. So then consistent system. The needs of the soul, the needs of the mind, the needs of the intelligence, the ego, the senses, the body, is all taken care of based on the same principles. So it works. But unless one knows this key, it will not work. Varnashram, because it's given by God, it's God's system of religion, then it'll only work if it's based on the spiritual principles. Right? But if you try to operate it from the bottom up, in the modern way of the ascending process, it won't work. It won't function. It won't function right, it'll be misapplied, or you can get it to externally perfectly work, but because the soul is not taking into consideration, then ego and other things will come up, so there still won't be satisfaction. So only we see the proper example given in the Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita of those who are devotees of the Lord, and then as a social tool, they use the Varnashram for interaction, because you have to have some system. So it's either we make up our own system or we follow God's system. It means it's a simple choice. You have one or the other. Like that. So the devotees, since God's made it, then it's nice. It pleases God. God, when He comes, He follows that social system. Because in the spiritual world, that is the social system. What's here is a reflection. It becomes turned into Vaidhi. But in Vrindavan, it's spontaneous. Right? Because Mother Jashoda has parental affection for Krishna. Therefore, she does all the perfect activities that a mother would do. Because it's all based on pure love. She has the perfect body for being a mother. She has the perfect attitude. She does all the perfect activities. She dresses, she talks, she walks, she sits. Everything she does is perfect for that position. Because of her natural, spontaneous love for Krishna. It matches that way. It's perfect for the rasa. But here in this world, we don't have the perfect people. Everybody here, Mother Jashoda is perfect because she's a servant. She's serving Krishna. Krishna is the enjoyer. She's a servant. But in the material world, everyone thinks, I'm the enjoyer. So it's really tough being a mother that thinks she's the enjoyer, at the same time trying to be the perfect mother and follow the perfect form of Mother Jashoda. Because another form won't work like that. I mean, you can work. There are 8,400,000 mothers like that. But if you want to be a human mother, then you have to follow what Mother Jashoda does. But the problem is Mother Jashoda is in the mood of service, not of enjoyment. So for her, her son is not a matter of her personal enjoyment. She didn't have Krishna because she wanted to enjoy having a child. She wanted to, you know, enjoy those moments when the kid just happens to be nice to his mother and does what she wants. Right? She wanted to serve Krishna in this way. Therefore, it's a totally different scenario. So since the soul in the material world thinks he's the enjoyer, then they have to make this mental adjustment that I'm not the enjoyer, I'm the servant. Then the social system works. Then service becomes a natural thing. If I'm the enjoyer, others should serve me. If I'm the servant, then I should serve others. And the wonderful thing is if everybody's in that attitude, then everybody's being served. Right? According to their whatever is their relationship with whoever else they're interacting with. So we see then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then for him, this is what's special, watching this interaction, he himself acting in the spiritual realm, in the natural spontaneous condition, or in Vaikuntha, in the rules and regulations, that's reflected into the material world. So it's the highest in the material world, is the basic fundamental in the spiritual world. So here, then, the culture being followed according to the rules, that's a natural position. That's the highest position in this world. If we spontaneously do whatever we like to do for our own purposes, then that's the lowest, right? Because it will be reflected from the spontaneous mood of the Brajavasis to, in a pure, unalloyed way, serve Krishna. While here, it will be a pure, motivated system. It's like, it's what I want. I'm doing this for me. Like that. What about me? You know, everything will be me. And this me means my mind. It doesn't mean the soul at all. So this position then doesn't give good social interaction. All we have to do is look around us and look at the contemporary society and see things aren't really working really great. And if we read into the old literatures, then we somehow or another find that the mood of service, dignity and consideration of others seems to be, at least in the, respected circles, more close to the Vedic. And those are where all your romantic and wonderful and special and dignified, things come from. You know, nowadays, you don't hear of dignity in this and that. It's rare. If you read or watch a war movie about the soldier, there's some dignity is there. There's some concept, at least in the higher levels. Maybe the privates, the grunts, they don't care. But you get into the officers, then there's some sense that there's some dignity is supposed to be there, some honor, some duty, like that. But other than that, anything else that's a modern themes of their so-called happiness, you don't find these principles. They're not important. Right? People are starting to realize maybe they are important. They've neglected them for so long. It's become so bad, the material world. And their relationships don't function. They don't have them. You have to go to a shrink to find out who you are. Right? And the shrink doesn't know who he is, so good chance. It means good luck. So, whatever, but you have to read books, right? I was in one mother's house. She had, a whole shelf of books. How to take care of her kid, how to have a kid, how to be pregnant, what to do in pregnancy, all the different this, that, so many different things. Just tons of stuff. You know, then there's this another shelf just about how to take care of the baby, you know, in the first year, in the first this month, in the first 2 years, and this and that. Well, previously, you just learned this from your mother, because your mother knew. Right? Your mother knew how to do it. She knew how to teach you. She knew the value of it. She knew that you could learn this from a little kid. She didn't wait till you had a kid and then say, oh, by the way, you know. You know? Is that so totally different? You didn't need all these books, you know. Your mother was an encyclopedia, you know. Now, you know, your mother's, you know, at the spa and you got to go to someone else who, you know, who decides that they'll make money by telling you how to be a mother. So a very, very different concept. So the Vedic works so nicely because of this mood of service. If that's there, it works. That's the thing, is tattva is not enough. You have to understand the relationship, right? The rasa, what is the mood of exchange between the persons? Otherwise it doesn't function, right? Let us take, okay, parental rasa, right? Adult, child, okay. Now, if we look at the tattva, the adult is mature, has trained, right? They should have come to the human platform. And they're in charge, they're superior. What they say goes, they're responsible, right? What they say the child should do, that should be done. Okay, that's the tattva. Now, if we apply that, then the parent just says, look, you know, I'm in charge here and this is it. And that's all, and runs it like, you know, some kind of an army camp or a stalag, then you'll find the child may not work very nicely, you know, because the only reason is because I'm the authority here. You won't get anywhere, right? Because the child is not just something that says yes or no, sir. They also, the mind is there, their intelligence, their ego, their body, their senses, their soul. So this administratively deals with the household. But what about the relationship? Right? You look at the kid now. Okay, and the kid, right? Been born. It's an animal, right? Two legs, okay. Like that. At least after a while when they stand up. But otherwise, four-legged for some time. Right? They scream, they yell, they have no understanding of anything. Completely ignorant. Don't even know who you are. Right? They can't do anything for themselves. Make a mess. Yell, scream. Totally self-centered. Absolutely self-centered. Like this, they're completely just animalistic. They're into their senses, and that's it. Everything goes in the mouth. So now if you look at this, you could get a pretty weird combination if you just look at these two facts. You know, the parents is the absolute, you know, Machiavellian dictatorial authority, and an animal. Right? But then what are you going to get in the way? But by tattva, you could say, yes, parents are just saying, do this, do that. How come you're doing like this? Will you stop crying and all that, you know? Well, you go get it yourself. I mean, why do you just lay there all day? You know, like that. You know, it just won't work. So, therefore, because the child is like that and the parent is mature, therefore there's kindness. There's gentleness. They deal with the child according to their nature. They're dependent, so then they serve. Kid doesn't do one thing for the parents. It's a one-way street. The parents are doing all the service. The kid's doing nothing as service, right? Mother's trying to dress. The kid's trying to walk off at the same time. You know, it's you know, there's no reciprocation there, practically. Now and again, they smile, right? And then the rest of the day, it's, you know, feed me, do this, do that. You know, it's like... So, but we see if it is understood, the relationship, it's very sweet. It's very wonderful, right? It's very nice because rasa is understood. So to understand the tattva is not enough to operate the relationship. Absolutely it's not enough. You have to know what is the mood, what is the exchange, what is my dealings, right? What does that mean when parent meets kid, right? Mature adult meets immature brat. Okay, so then that means that there is a change. The kid has to change because he's in front of an adult. He has to act properly. The adult has to then act with them as a child. Then you get a perfect interaction. It works. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So the same way as approaching, this is just very general, but if you approach anything, varnashram, if you don't take these two, it won't work. It just won't work. And if you want to know an example of it not working, you just look back in history on our own society. Where it's not working, you see these two aren't understood. Where it does work, they are understood. Either by knowledge or just by experience, or they grew up in such a way that somehow or another they had the fortune to have that kind of interaction. Then it works. But scientifically, it has not worked, because scientifically it wasn't applied. It was not applied. We did not scientifically apply our own social system. We have some knowledge, but we don't know how it's applied. Application's an art. It's based on science, but it's an art. Right? So it's not administration. The Brahmins are the head of society not by administration, but because knowledge is the most important thing for the living entity to get out of the material world. Without knowledge, his activity won't be complete. Therefore, the Brahmins are the highest. Not because just they're on the top of the pile, so therefore, you know, some you have to have some kind of way of, you know, exhibiting your false ego. No, because knowledge and detachment are the most valued qualities in the material world. You know, humility, all these things. Man, the first thing of knowledge is humility. So therefore, though they're the top, they're the most humble. Like that. So it balances. Like that. But if someone, we're the Brahmins, we're the big Brahmins, okay, we have the Brahminical Council, we tell everybody what to do, this, that, and all that, and then of course everybody's supposed to take care of us and that, you know, like that. But then you don't have a society. This is not a Brahmin. This is not the mood of a Brahmin. Right? There's something wrong here. Because they've understood, okay, administratively we're on the top of the pile, but they haven't understood what that means in duty. What's the relationship? How do we interact with others? Right? What's the rasa of a Brahmin with a Kshatriya, Brahmin with a Vaishya, Brahmin with a Shudra, Brahmin with another Brahmin, Brahmin with a senior Brahmin? Right? That's not understood. So how you make the system work? Right? Social systems are very complex. They're not so easy. Right? That, so they need to be studied, they need to be trained, we need to understand, we need to go deeply. Then we find out that the sensual, the emotional, the intellectual, the spiritual needs can be obtained. Otherwise, they won't be. Can't be. Because only the Vedic system, because to deal with emotions, to have emotional interaction requires religion. Right? Even if we say, be good, be nice, where does that come from? Right? It comes from Christianity, or from Judaism, or from Islam, or from Buddhism. Be nice, be gentle, don't be violent. Any good quality that we talk about in human society came from religion. So that's the thing, is then, depending upon who's there, different levels of religion is given. So the most complete has been given to the great, you know, sages and royal kings of the Vedic society. And God's laws always work. This is a very important point. It's not that now it's Kali Yuga, gravity doesn't work anymore, right? Fire doesn't burn, water's not wet, sugar's not sweet, you know, I mean, it just doesn't work anymore. It's a different age, it just doesn't happen. Right? No, it's exactly the same as it always was. What's changed is our ability to understand it's still the same. That's what's changed. Like that. We think it's different, right? I'm born in America, so I'm goddamn special, right? So we set this mood for the whole world, and what America does, then everybody does tomorrow, right? Isn't that what Prabhupada said, right? Right? Whatever's done in America today, then tomorrow the whole world does, right? I think it's something like that. Oh no, maybe it was Bengal. I mean, whatever. But it's my minor detail. But the whole point is that we have to see is that that's not enough. Just because we think it doesn't mean that it's useful or valuable. It doesn't mean. Then we have to establish that I am so valuable that my opinion is better than God's. You know, what I think is what happens. I'm Satya Sankalpa, so whatever I think happens, right? But actually, Krishna is Satya Sankalpa. So everything works accordingly, perfectly. Right here, Lord Chaitanya is following it. Right? Here it's, you know, 4,500 years into Kali Yuga. It still works. Right? And the Golden Age hasn't even started. Right? So now it's starting. So why it still won't work? So therefore, you be nice to other people, it will work. You know, you're nice to somebody, they'll be nice to you. You know, we must have seen when we preach to somebody, we're on Sankirtan. If we're pleasant, they're pleasant. We're confident, then they feel comfortable. Whatever it is, they reciprocate. If we have an attitude, then they'll have an attitude. It's natural. That's rasa. So the whole thing is it works if you understand how to operate rasa. It works very nicely, very pleasantly. You know, people still have a mind, and it still functions the same way. You're nice to somebody, they reciprocate nicely. Right? But now we can decide on which platform we want to be nice people. Because it's contemporarily modern is the thing to be nice. What happens if tomorrow it's not being nice is what's cool? Right? I mean, 10 years ago it was not. You know? Be tough, be mean, be nasty. That's cool. Right? You know? The lady standing on the corner with the shades on. The guy walks by, hey, baby. And she goes, my name's not baby. You know? You know, so, I mean, it's there. Some people practice it, you know? Like that. But, you know, it's not... Where's the interaction? Right? It's on a very low grade. We're not dealing here at all in emotions. So the modern society hasn't been known for dealing with emotions. Old stuff, yes, maybe. If you go back a long time, you know, guys used to put out their coats, you know, in the mud for the ladies, or, you know, stuff like this. You know, there was some kind of, you know, reciprocation, some idea that one should be pleasant and gentle with ladies, right? Nowadays, no, you know, you just stand on the corner, whistle at them, say all kinds of stupid things, you know, and because there's nothing emotional there, women need something. So then, and they're so dweeby, so therefore, okay, then the girls have to be aggressive and try to approach the boys and try to, you know, evoke some kind of emotional response. You know, something's better, a drop's better than nothing. But at the same time, as you know, we're not dealing here on a very deep level, a very great level. So the whole idea is that one has to know that there is emotions there. Therefore, there must be proper interaction. Man must know what a woman is. Woman must know what a man is. They both must know what they are. Then you can interact, right? How do you interact with something if you don't know what you are, right? In modern society, you'll be called crazy if you don't know. That's the funny thing, right? If you don't know who you are, people say you're nuts. You know, where are you from? I don't know. Who are you? I don't know. You know, what are you? I'm a telephone booth, right? You know, you'd be locked up. But you have a whole society of people don't know who they are, don't know how to interact, like that. And so they're nuts. But because everybody's nuts, you go into the insane asylum, they all think they're perfectly fine. They don't see any problems there, right? They've transcended all these, you know, cultural norms, you know? They're on the spontaneous platform. So therefore it looks normal. But that's the problem. Is Prabhupada, because he is coming from the normal place. He's the most normal person, right? We're the ones that are crazy, right? So the modern, they don't know what's normal, right? Therefore, it's funny, right? Yeah, came into the airport here, right? Then everybody was asking, the customs, this, that. They were grilling me, where's your stuff? You know, where's all your stuff? I only can I travel with this. Where's all your clothes? How do you change clothes? I wash them at night. What do you want? You know? Like this. It's so weird, you know? How come you have no stuff? I'm a monk, you know? It's like that. You know, it's like, but, you know, like that. You know, we have temples. We go there. They provide a place to lay down. I mean, what do you want? I'm supposed to carry my bed with me or what? You know? But it's so weird to them, you know? How you have no stuff. Why you have no stuff? You know? Like that, you know. I go through. They grill me like any. I got a bag this big, you know. But it's like, you know, it must be a trouble. Other people go through with suitcases like that, no problem. Like that, it's normal, you know. So they don't even know what is the social, what is this, what are the different, you know, natures within the social context. So nuts. So therefore, we can't base our life and our needs on a bunch of crazy people. Right? Just because there's a lot of them doesn't mean it's worth it. right? It's not worth it, you know? Because we need to fulfill our needs. So therefore, we have to look at how to actually fulfill my emotional, sensual, and spiritual needs. And the modern society doesn't get into it, right? If you just have an emotion, that's considered spiritual, right? It used to be kind of normal, but nowadays, because it's so emotionalness, it's only grossly sensual. That if there is an emotion, you actually felt something towards somebody, that's considered spiritual in these days. Right? Before, that was just called normal social interaction. Like that. Spiritual is something else. So there's not much we can gain from them. You know? There's not a whole lot. So we really have to look at what they're offering to see if they actually have something that we can gain. Right? But there's not much. Things they're good at making because they think they are a thing. You know, their women are a thing, their kids are a thing, their husband's a thing. You know, it's just another possession, right? I got my house, I got my car, I got my kid, I got my this, I got my that. You know, it's like just another list on their possessions. So they're good at making things. But as far as emotional exchange, interaction, they don't have a clue. If they do have a clue, they have to go back to old world values. Old world values are based on religion, right? And of religion, the one that can give the deepest is what Krishna gives directly. In Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. These are religious treatises. These are social treatises. How does a devotee behave in the company of other devotees, in the material world, in his occupation, you know, in his family life? All that. It all goes on. Here, Lord Chaitanya, how when he meets other sannyasis, how he should behave. This is the way to do it. Right? Not arrogant, you know? Not inviting yourself in when you weren't inviting, talking when no one wants to hear you talk. That's not. Lord Chaitanya was asked to come here. Right? He goes and he sits down. He waits for them. When they ask him to speak, he talks. Otherwise, he doesn't. Because he knows the etiquette. Right? It's not enough that we got something to say. Okay, you can go out and talk to the trees. They won't mind. But if you want others to listen, then they want to have to hear. Otherwise, what's the meaning? Where's the relationship? Then it's impersonal. I want to speak. I got something to say. Okay, that's nice. So you're as an individual. Now, what about everybody else in the room? Do you have a relationship with them? Or are you just standing there on your own? You know? What's the meaning? If you have a relationship with them, then they should want to hear. Right? And then, if they're individuals, you're an individual, you want to speak. Okay, but they're also individuals. So, does when one individual contacts another, is there any change in the environment? Does it adjust? Right? If you understand it does adjust, then you're understanding a basic principle of religion. Is everything has its nature, but when you put one nature in contact with another nature, they change. If you don't understand that, you don't even understand how to be human. Because human starts with religion. Prabhupada says, Varnasha, that human life starts there. Below that, it's not human. Subhuman, but, you know, whatever. There's a lot of the universes also like that. The Kinaras, Kimpurushas, you know, they're also subhuman. Like that. You know, horse heads and other kinds of stuff like that. But, and they understand. They live in the forest and understand. We're a bunch of tribals. You know, we're unsophisticated. We're wild guys. Okay. But Krishna's so kind, he accepts our service. So there's no impediment. Not impediment. There's no rule that you can't be a devotee if you're not human. Right? That's there. Devotional service crosses the barriers of species, right? The dog, we know the dog in Chaitanya, went back to Godhead, doing service, being attracted to Prasad, being attracted to Lord Chaitanya, you know, honoring Prasad. It went back to Godhead. Like that. So therefore, but if you're looking for emotional, economic, sensual, and needs of the intellect in this world, then you can choose whether to do it in a comprehensive package, you know, that is given by Krishna, or make up your own, or, you know, take a little hit from here and there, or, you know, something that is not comprehensive. And then not be completely satisfied. Because Krishna made the mind, we didn't. So how it's going to be satisfied is how Krishna says it will be. Krishna made the senses, and we didn't. How they'll be satisfied? So that kind of thing is we can get something out of ourselves. That's why the material world's been made. Okay, you want to be the boss? Go ahead, do it. But if you want to serve Krishna, then that's another thing. Then serving Krishna, then, because he's happy, then gives us the highest happiness on all these levels. Our material, our emotional, our spiritual levels. It'll give us what we're looking for. We're looking for conjugal happiness. You'll only find it in the Vedic system. You're looking for parental happiness. You'll only find it there. Friendship, there. Economics, you'll only find it there. Otherwise, people have plenty of money. They're in anxiety. Right? They're in anxiety. They got the money. They don't know anybody likes them. Right? Are all my friends and everybody, are they my friends because they like me or they like my money? Right? It's an anxiety. You don't know, do people really like you? If somebody's very shallow, then it's nice. Everybody, you go, you pay the bellhop $10, and he's always, yes, sir, always right there for you. We got a good relationship. No, it's you pay money, he's there. You don't pay money, he couldn't care less. Right? But they're shallow enough, okay, I have a little money, you know, things happen, I'm the center of attention. It's a principle, living anyone wants to be the center of attention. So, okay, if I have to pay for it, okay, I'll get it. But people who go a little deeper, they have some emotion, then they start to think, do these people really like me? You know, then there's an anxiety. So the moderns can't answer these questions. They can't create the environment. Well, the Vedic, if it's understood, it does. Why? Because it is Krishna's law. It works. Krishna's law works. Right? You take a piece of copper, and you connect it to electricity, it gets electrified. You take a piece of wood, connect it to electricity, it doesn't become electrified. You can say what you like. Well, I want it to become electrified. You know, it's like I've thought about it, and I think the best thing is wood becomes electrified. You know, it's much easier to work with than copper, right? You got to mine the copper, process the copper. Wood, you just go out, take it off the tree. You know, I just hook up my light bulb in there with a branch, and you know, it won't work. So that's the thing, is we have to be very high in our own opinion to feel that just because we thought it, it'll work. Like that. It's a great leap of faith that because I said it, it's going to work. But the point is God made it, God said it, that's why it works. So when we bring ourselves in line with that, then we find it's wonderful. It's a new experience. But we have to have that faith that that experience exists. Because, especially in the contemporary environment, many people haven't even experienced it. They don't even know what emotion is. Okay, lust, anger, greed, envy, these, yes. But something finer, the sense of duty that this person has committed to me and me to them. And whatever, you know, hell or high water, we're going to, you know, maintain that. That depth may not have been experienced in one's existence, you know, in, you know, this lifetime. So there needs to be some faith that if I do that, then there'll be some reciprocation, right? You need to go to these new big business seminars. One of the things that they have is having that faith in others, right? They stand you up, you close your eyes, and someone stands behind you, and then you just fall over backwards. And the other person's supposed to catch you, right? But for many people, it's very difficult. Very difficult, because they don't trust anybody. No, not their mother, their father, their wife, kid, nobody. So to do that, it's a common thing. You know the guy's back there, and he's not going to drop you on the floor. But still, to have that faith that he'll do it is a great leap of faith. It's like a paradigm shift for these people. It's like a great realization. Wow, you can trust people. You know, it's like the biggest thing. You know, at 45 years old, they finally had this realization, you know, like that, after paying hundreds of dollars to, you know, have somebody stand behind you and catch you. Right? Like that. While they should have already gotten that from their mother and father and brothers and sisters when they were kids in their community. But since they didn't, okay, so whatever it is. They got it at least, something, the first stage. But the idea is the Vedic, that's what's there. So we have to have that faith to get us across to the point where we, okay, this is it, this is the art, we try it, and we try to get it to where it works. But if we don't know how it works, we ask somebody, right? The thing, the maverick, the starts off at the bottom, claws his way up to the top. It looks good in the books. It looks good on the silver screen. It doesn't work. In real society, it doesn't work. We've all heard of one or two, right? There's 260 million people here. Okay, two or three examples. You know, it's a very small percentage. You know, if you add it up, you know, we're talking about a dot with a lot of zeros before you get to a number, you know, percentages. You know, we're not talking about something very... So therefore, we have to see that it's not there. The American dream doesn't exist, right? It just doesn't exist. You know, everything's here. It's going to happen. You know, we're in what do you call it? It's, you know, we can't be disturbed, right? You know, like that. You just have to go back to, you know, the last great disturbance, right, in New York. You know, then suddenly we're vulnerable. The American dream doesn't work so much. But we get it together, we're working out and all these different things, and spend our money, use our brain. Okay, but what about the emotional thing? What's happening there? That doesn't take any money. That takes faith, that takes commitment, that takes surrender, that takes service. But that price is too high to pay. Right? Cash, yes. Myself, no. But the Vedic culture, that is the price. Right? If you want emotional satisfaction, interaction, you pay the price. It's surrender on the emotional platform. Serve on the material platform. You want Krishna, it's the same. Surrender. Serve on the spiritual platform. So that's the problem. We think that our money, our facilities, the dead matter, is going to buy us something higher. The gross dead matter is going to buy us the subtle dead matter, satisfaction in the subtle dead matter. I have money, it's going to buy me emotional satisfaction. I have money, it's going to buy me intellectual satisfaction. Or if I have those, that's going to buy me spiritual, right? But it doesn't. It means you deal in its own commodity, right? Gross matter, its commodity is gross matter. Subtle matter, its commodity is subtle matter. Spiritual, the commodity is spiritual. You can't cross them. Like that. But the higher one is useful on the lower one, right? You take your $1, you take it to India, you get 48 rupees, you know? So the exchange rate goes good down, not up. Like that. That's all. You bring 1 rupee, you don't, you know, give you a few pennies. Like that. So it doesn't, it's different. So you take your material, gross material, and you think you're going to get something subtle out of it, emotional, you're going to get very little. A smile, and that's it. 2 second smile. Okay, that's it. And then, what about the rest of the day? The rest of the week? Right? You know? Like that. So, therefore, you have to know what is, you have to know the science. It's not enough to just think one knows. One has to know. Like that. So we see Lord Chaitanya here then understanding this science and understanding that the real taste is in exchange, is in relationship. That's the most valuable thing. Therefore we see he is doing all these things, though he doesn't need to. But because interaction with the devotees is the most important, and he sees every living entity as the devotees. Then those who have surrendered, then they're the most dear. So he's equal to everyone, because they're all devotees. But those who recognize their devotees and act to that degree, then they become special, they become dear. So within dear, they're the more dear. Like that. Any questions? Yeah.
I was wondering, you said about the relationship between the devotees and the devotees.
No, it's a matter, yeah, means rasa, you could understand the question? Question was, is that it appears in different relationships Krishna doesn't want. So that's the point, is the rasa is based on him. Krishna is rasa. Means we're not rasa, we're energy. Krishna is rasa. Sometimes we think Krishna is in this rasa, that rasa. No, Krishna is rasa. And the living entity, the devotee, they are in a rasa. And because they exchange with Krishna in that way, they draw from Krishna that mood. So all aspects are there in Krishna, but how Krishna will respond, then that will be, you know, more favorable or not. It's tasted, but it's not the major taste. Like Dhirodatta is not a major taste. It's not the sweetest taste. You know, dealing with Dhirodatta means, you know, in your face kind of thing. You know, Krishna with Poundraka. You know, he's in his face, you know. You're a frog. You know, I've come here, the snake Krishna, the black snake Krishna has come to eat the frog Poundraka. You know, so it's there. But it's only in those situations, you know. You don't, Krishna doesn't do that with his women. You know, he does that with, you know, people that have an attitude. Like that. So it's different. You know? So it's there. But therefore, since the relationship is different, then there's rasabhas. So those things are rasabhas. If they're servant, therefore there's a limit of what they can say or do. Otherwise it goes out of the relationship. You want to establish a different relationship, fine. But you don't mix relationships. It just doesn't go together. You know, you don't put it, you know, it's like you have sweet rice, you don't put soy sauce on it. You know, it's two different rasas. You know, soy sauce you put on noodles, it's great. But you don't put it on sweet rice. You know? So like that is because Krishna is the most refined connoisseur of taste, therefore it doesn't match. Choto Hari Das, he is a sannyasi, so therefore he has to set example. He's becoming attached, emotionally needs from women. That's not important. That's for a grihastha. Like that. Therefore, it won't set the proper social standard. Then there'll be no taste. If the sannyasis are emotionally attached to women, the women can't respect sannyasis. They don't respect sannyasis. They don't respect the philosophy. Right? If they don't respect the philosophy, they don't follow it. They don't follow it, the whole thing falls apart. Right? So therefore, then how is there going to be respect? The women respect the sannyasis, then they respect the whole system. They respect the system, therefore then their children are trained in the system, because whatever to them is important is shared. Right? That's the nature. What's good is shared, what's bad is shared. This has to be understood. Right? This not people. Men think, women can share all the good times with me, but the bad they can keep to themselves. Doesn't work. They just share. If you are close to them, they share it. If they're in a good mood, you get part of it. Guaranteed. You get bad mood, you're going to get part of it. Guaranteed. So therefore, they're going to share. If they value it, they're going to give that to their children. They're going to expect their husband to follow it. They're going to follow it themselves. So if you want the whole society to fall apart, therefore. So, and the bigger you sacrifice, the smaller. So it is out of rasa that Lord Chaitanya is doing this. But it'll be out of protection and all that for others, but for Chota, it's protecting him. And you see, it's only in that form it's a problem. As soon as he leaves and takes a Gandharva form, Lord Chaitanya goes down and personally sits with him and listens to his singing. Right? As Choto Haridas, he wasn't sitting only alone with him. Choto Haridas would be one member of a great body of devotees. But now afterwards, he'll go at the beach alone, no one's there, and listen to his singing. So the problem is not that it's that the situation he's in. He's playing that part. You're playing that role. You have to do the role right. Right? Krishna's not running the living theater. Right? You just come in and do whatever you want, you know? Like that. There's a script, and you got to follow the script. You got to be in character. You got to wear the right costume. You got to say your lines at the right time, right? So that's pastime, right? Otherwise, it's just craziness, right? So that's the whole point, is he's not playing the part. So how will Krishna then perform the pastime of interacting with him? You know what I'm saying? So rasa has been broken there, not by the Lord, but by Choto Haridas. Does that make sense? Like that. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Yesterday, in your class, you said something that I heard for the first time. It made a lot of sense that the classic, it was all about a quote of religion without philosophy, philosophy without religion doesn't work. So you equated Plato with philosophy and Vasa, religion. You expanded a lot, maybe new lights on this understanding of Vasa. Even explaining that in the material world, the understanding of us is essential for things to work.
Yeah.
You didn't try the whole thing on and on. The thesis sounds to me remarkably sensible. I think it's the whole benefit by meditating quite a lot. There's one detail, maybe just semantics, or in my 36 years of gradually being formed, hopefully not deformed, but formed as a devotee. We've always had this received wisdom in Islam that Rasa is something very, very esoteric, that you have to be quite advanced to even begin to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something in the spiritual world, material world, Rasa is just a perverted Rasa that you find in the material world. Whereas in your presentation, Rasa becomes almost the nuts and bolts, wisdom required even to make things work in the material world. And again, maybe it just be semantics, but somehow, are we ready for Rasa?
Yes. Are we? Yeah. You have a whole seminar. Are we ready for Rasa? That would be Jayadvaita Maharaj. Are we really ready for Rasa? Okay. So, yes, it sees the difficulty comes is that we'll look at things. Generally, we tend to look at things kind of like this way, right? And not, and this way, we don't know the system. You have to look at both. I think one's, what is it? One's linear and the other is horizontal. Horizontal and linear, right? They're two absolutely separate, non-intersecting systems, according to the modern. The Vedic is you have to have both happening at once. Because you can't understand the horizontal unless you understand where the linear goes to. The vertical, yeah. The vertical goes to Krishna. Then if you go all the way up to Krishna, then when it comes back down and it comes down to another detail, you can put them together. Otherwise, they don't look the same. You know what I'm saying? It means whatever is a contradiction in this world, if you follow each one back to its source, it goes to Krishna. Therefore, achinta beda beda tattva is two contradictory things can happen at the same time because you connect them to Krishna. Otherwise, if you don't connect, if Krishna is not part of the equation, you can't put together contradictions. But for Krishna, there is no contradiction because everything's Him. So, therefore, then there isn't a contradiction in this. Both are correct. Means rasa is one topic. How it functions is the same on the spiritual platform and on the material platform, in principle. Is that you have basically five elements of it. You have a person who is, you have a rasa with somebody, right? Means the individual has their position, and so therefore, when you contact another person, there's rasa, right? So now, you have your position with them. Okay, let's say it's your mother, okay? So there is a staibhav of, that's your mother, right? You're the son, they're the mother, so it's a parental relationship, right? That'll establish that. Then you'll have what's called vibhav, which is then what are the things in that relationship that invoke the parental relationship. So therefore, when you smell your mother's blueberry muffins, then that invokes that. You know, or the mother sees, probably gives the example, sees the shoes of the child, she remembers. You know, or they come together, or they embrace, or the mother pats them on the head, or feeds them, or bathes them. All those are impetus for creating it. Right? Means that there's something you see. Then that creates the activity, that's anubhav, in which you interact. Right? So then those then are going to create Sattvika Bhava and Sanchari Bhava. That'll create the emotional experience you'll get within the relationship. So the relationship is parental. Then of that, then there'll be a happiness or a distress or something, and then finer things that go. Like this. So all that will happen. In other words, you have a relationship with somebody. There'll be something to start that or initiate the relationship. There'll be the activity that you perform, and there'll be the emotional result you'll get, the taste that you'll get from it. In other words, it's all sambandhabhideya prayojana. What is the relationship? Means there's a natural relationship, and then what makes it, what's the catalyst to make it work? Right? So that's the relationship, sambandha. Then what you do, that's the abhideya. Then what's the result is that experience of the sthayi bhava. You experience the emotions of that, which come in the form of the sattvika and sanchari bhavas. So on this platform, in the spiritual world, that is manifest in its full glory. In this platform, it's reduced down very greatly. So therefore, the sattvika bhavas, generally, you know, hair standing on end. Okay, you know, we're in a dark alley and suddenly this, you know, big guy comes out with a gun and says, hand me your money. Then this sattvika bhava of your hair standing on end becomes manifested. You become stunned. You know, your voice chokes up. You know, these things happen. But it's generally in very severe situations. You know? So it's reduced down to a very minor way. Therefore, people who come from the spiritual world, they see nothing here. So even sex on this platform is very uninviting because there's nothing happening. Right? For us it's happening, but for them there's no emotion, there's no exchange happening there. Like that. You know, it's just the way it is. So then it becomes reduced. But the principles how it works are the same. So you have spiritual between the soul and God, and one Krishna conscious living entity on the liberated platform and another. That's one platform of rasa. That's called Vaikuntha rasa. Then emotional rasa means between one living entity and another. Based on the Vedic principles, the perversion means that instead of Krishna being the enjoyer, you're the enjoyer. But the form of it looks the same. You understand? That the perversion's not that it's perverted. That comes down to the central platform where you go out of the Vedic like that. Then you get perverted. You know, the mother burns the kids with cigarettes, stuff like that. That's a perversion of the perversion. Right? The first perversion is just, it looks exactly like what goes on in the spiritual world and the rasas, but you're the center rather than Krishna the center. So each individual is the center like that. That's why Prabhupada says, gives the example of dropping many pebbles, it creates problem. If you drop one, then you can have unlimited concentric circles. So your service to Krishna, your sadhana, your wife, your family, your money, your house, your, you know, everything, you can put all around that as long as Krishna is the center. But perverted means each person thinks of the center. So then there's clash. So to avoid that clash, therefore, the Vedic literatures then say, in this situation, you deal with your wife like that, and you deal with your husband like this, and with your child, because otherwise you don't know, because you're the center of the universe. We don't know how to be God. You know, we're not, so it's going to be a hard part to play. You know? So, and we've been doing it for a long time, we still haven't learned. So, you know, it won't work. So then, the idea is then you have to know how it functions. Then sensual means you have a rasgulla and you have your tongue. Unless they touch, you're not going to taste it. Right? If you just want the rasa of form, then your eyes have to touch it. You know, you want the rasa of sound, then you have to drop it or squeeze it or something. You know, you want it, you know, just the feeling, then your hand has to touch it. The sense has to touch the sense object. Then rasa, you know, it's sweet, it's sour, it's salty, it's, you know, like this. Then you get exchange. But that's on the basis platform is temporary, very short. Sensual happiness is very short-lived. Emotional happiness, it'll last as long as your body is, you know. And like that. That can last that long. Therefore, you can still remember how your mother dealt with you and cooked and took care of you and still appreciate that relationship today after so many years, 20, 30, 50 years. So the emotional platform is much longer. Therefore, it's recommended as the platform of material rasa, not sensual. Because the emotional includes the sensual. Because emotional, generally, you'll find, it includes the sensual. But the sensual doesn't include the emotional. That's the thing. The higher includes the lower, but not the other way around. So then, but still, that's just your social platform, how to interact. But as far as you as the soul, it doesn't deal with it at all. Indirectly, yes, but not directly. So even though you're dealing with all the varnashram and nice, and even doing it for Krishna, that you're doing it for Krishna, you're taking into consideration the platform of the soul. So service comes in, and it's service to Krishna. I'm nice with my family, I'm dutiful to my family, because this is what Krishna expects from someone in my position. As a grihastha, it is my duty to take care of the family. That's how Krishna wants it. That's how Krishna has designed the rasa. So it's because of my duty I'm doing it, not because I'm attached. Because the problem is that it's because I'm attached. When I'm not attached, I won't do it. There's a bad day, someone yelled at me, you know, the kids, you know, I won't do it. Right? So therefore, attachment's not enough. Just because we're attached, it's not good enough. Dogs are attached to their puppies also. And because of that attachment, then they are successful. They create a dog. But it's not enough. You want to create a human, it takes more than attachment. You know, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what is human emotion, human duty. Then you get a human being. Otherwise, yes, you get an animal like that. So therefore, that's rasa is the same, but you have to know what's the difference. So generally when we speak of rasa, we speak of the highest rasa, the origin of rasa, because that's the real rasa, because the other ones are illusory. The sense meeting the sense object, their meeting, your not meeting is the soul, but because you identify with it, therefore you get pleasure out of it. You're not the mind. But because you identify with the mind, when the mind gets what it wants, you're happy. But those both are illusory, because both are dead matter. But rasa on the spiritual platform, that is the soul experiencing it with Krishna. So that is real rasa. The others are reflection of rasa. So therefore when we say rasa, we mean the spiritual. But for discussion, you can talk about rasa on the material platform. So generally that's why we call it varnashram, we don't call it rasa. But that's what it's based on. You know, sense gratification, we call it that, we don't call it rasa. You know, sense gratification will be seen on a lower level than duty. But duty, then there's spiritual duty. You know? Like that. So by the name of it, then it puts into context the nature of the rasa. Like that. So then the Vaikuntha rasa, the Swargiya rasa, which is emotional, means like swarga, means the heavenly planets, what they taste is emotional interaction, not sensual. Sensual is there, but it's only adding to the emotional exchange. Right? So it means that demigods are hanging out together because of the emotional thing. Indra, he rules the universe. He's the lord of the universe. Because he's lord, then these apsaras are dancing for him. You know, that's their service. So then he appreciates that. It's all emotional. It's the senses are the medium through which you're going to show it. Just like you're going to show your emotions, though it's subtle, to somebody through the body. You know, you come up, pat them on the back, give them something, talk nicely. It's your senses. But it's a show of what is your emotional state. Like that. So therefore it looks like that. It's taken like that, but it's not. So in the heavenly planet, it's all the taste. You know, Indra's worried about losing his seat. You know, because that seat has a taste to it. A rasa. Like that. So then that is there. On this plane, then you get the thing of sensual that you can make. It means you don't get on the heavenly planet where a girl is just some well-designed shapes of skin. And you just want to touch her because it's sensual. You don't have that on the heavenly planets. She's an individual, a person who you can relate to. And because of that emotional exchange, then the sensual goes with it. Right? Because for women, the senses, the emotion, you don't separate. Men do, women don't. So up there, it's a whole different thing. So that then is given in Varnashram here. So what they taste there, you can taste here, if you follow it. If you don't follow it, then you have to put up with, you know, the doggy stuff that you get down here. You know, sensuality. Conjugal rasa means sex, right? That's the modern definition. If they're not having sex, where's the conjugal rasa? You know, so therefore, then there's no conjugal rasa when they're, you know, paying the bills or discussing, you know, how they're going to, you know, push on in their life. That is not conjugal rasa. Therefore, when that becomes more prominent and sex less prominent, then the relationships fall apart. Because conjugal rasa meant the body, right? She's got feminine accoutrements, he's got masculine, therefore they match in the conjugal rasa. But that's it in the modern. So it doesn't get anywhere. That's why things don't work, the relationships don't work. Friendships are shallow. You know, friendship means we all get together and goof on someone else. Then we're friends, right? There's three of us, we're great friends. When one of us steps out of the room, what do the other two do? Goof on the one that stepped out of the room. Right? Then when he comes back in and then a different person goes out of the room, then those two goof on the one that left. So it's chivalry. It's not friendship. They don't taste friendship. They taste chivalry. They teach the secondary rasas. You know, laughing, fear. They don't taste friendship. Just like in the modern sense, conjugal rasa, it's not tasted. They're not tasting conjugal. They're tasting the seven secondary. Conjugal rasa means you've committed yourself to this person. They've committed themselves to you. And because it's a man and woman committing themselves on this platform of equality, that creates the conjugal rasa. That faith. Then there's activities that they do that match it. The activities aren't the rasa. They're the support of the rasa. So that, how much is that tasted in the contemporary society? Now and again? One moment in the book, one moment in the movie. Vedic means you're tasting that 24 hours a day. You know? And still you're not satisfied. Why? Because you're the soul. You need that with 24 hours a day with Krishna. But it's the natural common platform of the human to interact with each other, and it's the most natural thing to use in God's service. You know? It's the easiest, it's the nicest. Therefore, that's what it's there. The external supports the internal. And the internal is a tool for the spiritual. Does that make sense? So therefore, generally when we say rasa, we mean that. I've only used it here just to bring it out. Therefore, I've said these terms and brought them together. Like that. Also, religion, varnashram. Like that. Because generally we think of religion as, you know, okay, we did a yajna, that's religion. But religion means what's the nature of something. What's the nature of a woman? What's the nature of a man? How they should interact based on what is their actual nature. That's religion. That the Vedic science tells us. So it's science. Conjugal rasa is science. Parental rasa is science. But that science is religion. So therefore, science, religion, philosophy, the sentiment, they're all bound together. You can't separate them. Like that. When we separate them, then there's a problem. If we don't separate them, it's nice. Right? We have the cake, and we have the frosting in a bowl, and then we put it on the table, no one's going to be very impressed. You know? Or the little kids will just pick up the bowl and start eating the frosting, of course. They may be impressed, but they're not well trained. When they get a little older, they won't be so impressed. You know? So it has to be blended. Like that. The two have to go together. Right? So there has to be the taste. The taste is the frosting, but it has to have some substance on which it goes. That's the form of it, the externals of it, the rules of it, the duties of it. Right? Then that taste is there. Because you're performing the duties, therefore the wife interacts, therefore the husband interacts. Then you get something. So that's religion. That's where Prabhupada says philosophy or religion is mental speculation. Right? And what is the common element in our society when it comes to social things? Is that sentiment or speculation? Right? Because there's no standard. Krishna sets the standard. Then you can taste. So what we're missing is our religion. We gave up our religion. We took up Krishna consciousness. We took the philosophy, but we didn't understand that religion was a viable part of our life because we already rejected our parents' one. And so then here you have a society of people with a great philosophy. Even the karmis will say it's the best philosophy. Right? But they will also say, these guys have no religion. They're the nastiest people around. Right? Because there's no religion. And so then what do we turn back to? Middle class America. That's our religion. Right? So human being, conditioned soul has to have religion. Liberated soul, yes, can go beyond. Conditioned soul has to have religion. So therefore, we make up our own, follow someone else's that they've made up or they got from, or we follow Krishna's. Like that. So that is the choice. We can't get away from religion. It's just a matter of what religion we want to follow. So the thing is, it's a science. It's not an administrative thing. It's administered. Kshatriyas administrate Varnashram. Brahmins teach Varnashram. Vaishyas perform the economic basis for the Varnashram. The Shudras provide the backup for the Varnashram. But that's not the Varnashram is the mentality, the duties that is there. That's the Varnashram. The others just make it function. That's the thing. Right? You have a plan, then you get it done. But if there's no plan, there's no consensus, then you can't get anything done. Right? So a group of people sit down, they have a consensus, they have the same attitude. Then you apply it. Then you see these external forms come into place. But it's based on an already accepted plan. Then it works. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Huh? Yeah. I mean, this is a big topic. It doesn't happen in one sitting. But yes. Depends on how it's done. That's the thing. Is you can see that from any one of the basically four varnas. You're giving knowledge, and because of that knowledge, they're giving a dakshin in return. That's how Prabhupada explains it in the Nectar of Instruction. Like that, and dadati pratigrinati. Is that the devotee is giving transcendental knowledge, and out of appreciation of that, they're reciprocating by giving some money. They have money. They can give that to you. You have knowledge and that you can give to them. Kshatriya is that you're giving them the book, and by this book they'll understand and they'll take up and properly follow the religious principles. Like that. And they take a tax. Right? The Vaishya then is business. I got a book, you got money, and let's change here. Like that. Shudra, it's the art of selling. Right? But as a devotee, then naturally, whatever is one's conditioned approach, whatever method you're using, but the devotional principle is that you're giving spiritual knowledge, they're reciprocating. So therefore, it should be a relationship. If it's not, it's due to our short-sightedness. Or, is that okay? Like that. Something else? Or? Okay, so we'll end here, kind of late. Chai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainita Gaura Premanandi.